Appreciate the good songs this morning. I ask y'all to pray for me. I had a tough time studying for this morning. I had a lot of thoughts on my mind, and I wasn't real sure where I was to go with them. So I ask y'all to pray for me that hopefully this will come out the way that the Lord wants it to, and not the way that I want it to, necessarily. Y'all have heard me talk a lot about being an example. You've heard me talk about being the light and the leadership that it takes to be that light, and the leadership that it takes in the troubles that we face in our daily lives, because it's hard, because society makes it hard for us to be a Christian. Y'all have heard me talk about that over and over again. Well, this morning, I'm not going very far off that. It's going to be pretty similar. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 23, verse 26. Luke chapter 23, verse 26. Now in this chapter, it talks about the crucifixion. That's not what I'm going to pull out this morning. I just want to point out two verses, because it paints such a vivid picture, and it shows you how to live your life. And it's really not what it's talking about, but it's what I saw when I read the verses. Verse 26, it says, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him." So to just think about that. Think about that in life. Jesus walking up a hill, you following him, carrying the cross, and then people following you. That's kind of how life is. We put Jesus in front, and we walk in his footsteps the best that we can, trying to carry the cross and trying to bear the cross, the weight of what it brings. And as we do that, there are more people that will follow and see what's going on. And as Jesus walks up this hill, don't you think that's a tough hill? Just like life is a tough hill. There's the bumps along the way. But when we put Jesus in front, we're always going to make it up. When we follow in his footsteps, the footsteps that he laid before us to walk up, we'll make it to the top of the hill, no matter how big the hill may seem. As long as we're following his footsteps, people will see it, and people will notice it, and they'll follow right along. And they'll want to see what's different. They'll want to see what's about to happen. People are so eager to grab onto something good, and we all know that, and you've heard me say it before. But we have to be the good in the world. We have to be that thing that stands out. It's a little bit strange, so that they can see us. If my friends would have come here and saw what happened before we sang those second two songs and saw everybody standing up and testifying, once again, they would have referred to our church as Crazy Church. They do. Every time I talk about it, they refer to my church as Crazy Church. That's all right, because maybe we're a little different, but they know it. They see it. They see that there's something different, because there is. Because when God saves us, he instills a little bit of him in us, deep down in our heart. And when the Lord, who created all the heavens and created the earth and hell and everything, the creator of the universe, comes in and speaks to your heart, it's a little bit hard not to scream and shout. It's a little bit hard not to cry. But a lot of times we try to hold that in. And we want to cover that up because it feels awkward. And it feels a little bit different sometimes to stand up and to talk in front of other people and to proclaim how happy you are about something that nobody can see, that only you can feel. And to people that can't see God because they don't know him, they don't have that personal relationship with him, they think it's a little strange. But it's not, because we can see him, we can feel him, like the wind, just like the wind. But by our actions, other people will see Christ through us. They won't see us as Christ, but they will see Christ through us if we work for him and as we serve for him. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus walked this earth without ever making a mistake, never messed up once, not one time, but he still considered himself a servant. And people almost get offended today when you refer to them as servants. If I were to go out and tell people I'm a servant for God, they would say, "You're a servant. Why would you consider yourself a servant?" But my Savior, who never messed up, considered himself a servant for the Lord. So that's what we truly are. That's what we're trying to be. We haven't even made it to that point yet, to where we really can call ourselves servants. Because if Jesus was a servant, we're even below that. But we have to realize how small we truly are and how humble we have to get. We have to bring ourselves to the lowest point so that we can serve him, so that God can use us. Because if we boast in our own, you know, pride, and that we lift our own selves up, God can't use us at that point. We have to bring ourselves to a low point so that he can use us in anything. Jesus was obedient even unto death, until that very last moment, until he took his last breath, he was obedient to what God wanted him to do. As he had those nails driven through his hands and through his feet, and as they sat there and laughed at him and spat upon him and whipped him, as he was dying, he was still obedient. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we have somebody say a mean word to us, and we want to stop being friends with them because they offended us just a little bit. These people were killing Christ. They were killing him. Yet he still loved them. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus has set a perfect roadmap for how we should live our lives. A perfect roadmap. There's no other way that we should live it. To follow in those footsteps seems unthinkable. To try to live like Jesus lived in today's world, everybody thinks it's not possible. And it's not, because we're born of sin. We have sin in us. We're going to sin every day. We're going to make mistakes every day. But to try to just catch one of those footsteps along your life and just try to step as close and walk as closely to those footsteps as you can, that hill will become a little bit easier. You think about a car driving up a hill. If there's no tracks that have already gone up it, it's pretty difficult for the car to make it because the tires will spin. But if there's tire tracks already there and the road has already been paved, that hill becomes a little bit smaller. It becomes a little bit easier to get up it. So when you wake up in the morning, think about it that way. If I can get up this morning and I can do one good thing for God, not for myself, but for God, life's going to become a little bit easier. You're going to get blessed a little bit more. But me and Alyssa talked about it. We don't serve God for the blessings. We serve God because we know that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we want to do. You don't give a gift looking to receive a gift. You just give the gift, right? So when you're serving, you serve God because you want to, not because you have to, but because you want to. And every day it'll become a little bit easier, and that hill will become a little bit smaller, and those tracks will become a little bit deeper. And every time that you have a trouble in your life, it'll become a little bit easier to get over it and to get past it and to move on, because you're walking a little bit closer to Jesus' footsteps. You're trying to be a little bit more Christ-like. That's what life is. It's to live your life being a Christian. Not just being a human, not just being a person that walks through doing whatever they want to, but being a Christian, Actions speak louder than words, right? So we can't just say that we are. We have to prove it. We have to prove it, not only to ourselves, but to the people around us. There are people around us that want to see us mess up. I have people all the time, every time that I slip up, and I mean every single time I slip up, doesn't matter what it is, I get a joke thrown at me every time. Some of my roommates that I live with joke with me about it, and it's okay. It's okay because they almost hold me accountable. And people will hold you accountable, and when you slip up, they'll let you know. And you'll know, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. So when people correct you, when your friends correct you, when they mock you, just use that as a little bit of motivation. Pray about it. Ask for some guidance from God, because He's going to give you guidance in everything. And hold on to that. Hold on to that guidance. Find motivation to get through your daily lives. Because if you can get through one day, then surely you can get through the next one. If you can get through 2 days, surely you can get through 4. And just keep doubling that, and life becomes a little bit easier. All the big things become small things. There was a song that we were singing. It says, "My bark shall sail safely, though waves dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll still the rough waters when by and by I'm crossing the river, so why?" He's going to be there. He's going to be there. Songs, music, lay out a perfect picture for what life really is. And that verse shows you, and it tells you, and it paints that picture that Jesus is going to hold your hand every step of the way. And He's willing to do that if you just allow Him. If you just say, okay, I'm going to surrender. I surrender everything. I surrender all. God, just use me. Use me how you want to use me. Help me to be kinder towards the people around me. Help me to love my neighbor. Help me to love my enemy. Help me to serve you a little bit more. Help me to be a little bit more like your son. To call upon Him every single day. Because it's not just a one day out of a week. It's every day. You have to continue to call upon Him and continue to ask and continue to serve. Because the further you get away from Him, the easier it is to say, you know what, I'm not going to go to church this Sunday. You know what, I'm not going to go and talk to that person. You know, I didn't talk to that person yesterday. I'll start tomorrow. Start today. As soon as we walk out of this church, start today. Be willing to serve, no matter what the cost is. No matter what the cost is. It doesn't matter if you have to move states. I know people that have moved countries because God has told them to. If He's directing you down a path anywhere, you have to follow it. Or the repercussions could just tear people's lives apart. Y'all have heard me say this, if I wouldn't have started preaching, if I wouldn't have accepted the call until today, this would have been my first time preaching. I probably preached 40 times, we'll say 40, maybe not even that many. Think about how many opportunities would have gone by. How many people that I met in high school went to a school with 1,800 people. If they would have never even known me, maybe I was the only person they could have ever met that was a true Christian. If we take opportunities and say, I'm going to wait until tomorrow, and we procrastinate, things just become a little bit more difficult. And it becomes a little bit more easy to put it off again and to put it off again. We wonder why there's not a lot of people that are here this morning. And we have a lot of members. I actually looked in our book that shows how many members we have. Me and Jessica did. And we looked through and saw how many have been here since 1950-something. I think I saw over 500 names. But a lot of those people have either gone on to be with the Lord, or they stopped coming one Sunday. And then the next Sunday they said, well, it's only 2 Sundays. And then they said, well, it's only 3 Sundays. It's only 4 Sundays. And then they get out of that habit. I think being a Christian is a habit. You have to get yourself willing to serve and willing to live that life. And every day, it's a struggle. It can be a struggle every day, but every day, it's a blessing. And you have to be willing take the bad times with the good times, because the good times will outweigh the bad times tenfold. Over and over and over again, the good times are so much better. Remember that Jesus was obedient and was a servant up until he died, when people mocked him and laughed at him and said, "If you're the Christ, save yourself." I was thinking, if that was me, I would have saved myself just like that, just because I wanted to show them up. I wanted to show them up and prove to them that I was. Luckily, I'm not the Savior. Luckily, none of us in this room is, because every single one of us would have made a mistake. But he didn't. And that's who we need to model ourselves after. Jesus is the perfect model. He laid down the roadmap for every person in this room. And even when it seems like you've fallen and you've messed up, you really haven't. Because he's going to forgive you every single time. In Psalm chapter 27, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." The world is a battlefield. Every single one of us in this room is a Christian soldier. And we're really like the sergeant. I'm not really sure military terms, the highest rank. That's what we should try to become, so that other people will listen to us and listen to what we tell them. We have to go out there and be Christian soldiers. This world is filled with so much garbage and trash. But we have to try to do something about it. We have to try to do something about it. Probably about a month, maybe 2 months ago, whenever I preached and I talked about trying to get people here. Let's say it's been 2 months. Still the same number, guys. Still the same number. Maybe less. There's an urgency in life that we all have to own up to. Even when we don't want to. Even when we don't want to invite somebody. Even when we don't want to talk to somebody. Even when we don't want to testify to somebody. That moment right there could be the most urgent moment of that individual's life. And I fall short every day because I live with three guys that probably aren't saved. As far as I know, they're not. And I don't think I've talked to them once since I moved in with them. Not one time. So I fall just as short as everybody in this room. So I'm going to make a claim that I'm going to try to do a little bit better this week. This week, because it only starts with one. I'm going to try a little bit better to serve my Lord. And if it gives me an opportunity to talk to those boys, I'm going to talk to them. And I'll stand in front of this church and I make you that promise that I will do that. But I also ask of you, throughout this week, if God gives you an opportunity to invite somebody to church, invite them. Don't just ask them, invite them. Tell them the great things that this church has to offer. Tell them about the loving people, the great songs, the stories, everything that this church has to offer. Sell them everything about it. Tell them about your Savior. Tell them your testimony. If God gives you an opportunity this week, take it and run with it. Because it's a chance for you to impact somebody's life forever. Now, you can't do the saving, but to know that you had a small piece in that person's salvation, just getting them here, just to get them here, means the world to you. I promise, if you've never had that experience of having a friend come to church and being saved, you need to try it. Trust me. I know it's hard to trust a 19-year-old boy, but trust me. It is a beautiful thing when you can see one of your friends saved, one of your family members saved, somebody that you truly care about. In Philippians, it said to care about others more than you care about yourself. Care about others. Jesus wasn't a selfish person. He was a selfless person. He didn't worry about what people thought about him. He didn't care that people disliked him. He didn't care that people wanted to kill him. He just wanted to be obedient to God's will, even unto the point of death. So this week, let's all try to take one step that Jesus took. Let's try to be just a little bit more obedient. And I hope in another two months, that this church will be a little bit larger and our population will be a little bit bigger, and that we will all love the Lord just a little bit more, and we will all serve just a little bit more. My challenge to you this morning is, how close to perfection can you get? You're never going to reach the point of perfection like Jesus did, but how close can you get? There's a lot of people in sports, celebrities, actors, whoever, that want to be perfect. They want to be perfect. Every time that they're seen, they want to look perfect. They want to act perfect. They want to say the right things perfectly. Well, let's try to do that. Let's look the part. Let's act the part. Let's be the part of a Christian. Be obedient. And see how close to perfection can we get this week. Not for our own selves, but for God. So that Jesus' name will be lifted up in everything that we do. In every little thing that we do, let's try to do it for Jesus. Let's not do it for ourselves. That's my message this morning. I hope in some small way it might have had its effect. And I hope that it sticks. I hope the Lord's message sticks. And that it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. That we take it and we use it. No matter who's standing behind this book board, take the message and run with it. Because it's God's message, it's not mine. I can take zero credit for it. So don't look at it as if a 19-year-old boy is standing up here. Look at it as God has given a message. Just run with it and be happy in that. I appreciate the opportunity that y'all gave me this morning. There'd be a word or a testimony upon anybody's heart. I know it was different. I'm sure all my sermons are different. Anything at all before we dismiss?
I don't think you know what to say
to myself.
Amen. Yeah, it was wisdom. It was wisdom. It was service.
Appreciate this. I appreciate this. I have two letters here. It says New Bethel Church Family Reunion at New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. That will be on Saturday, September 28, 2013, beginning at 11 a.m. The preaching will be by Brother Forshee. Lunch and singing to follow. And then another one says Harvest Missionary Baptist Church. Dear brethren, the members of Harvest Missionary Baptist Church would like to invite you to Friends Day on Sunday, September 15, 2013. Sunday school will begin at 10 a.m., followed by worship service. Lunch will be served, followed by an afternoon of singing. Beginning Wednesday, September 18, 2013 at 7, Harvest Missionary Baptist Church will hold its fall revival. The revival will run through Sunday night, September 22nd, or as long as the church feels the need to continue. Assisting our pastor, Elder Barry Armour, for the revival will be Brother Matthew Clark and Brother Randy Swaffer. We sincerely desire your prayers for a successful spirit-filled revival and pray that you will be able to attend. May the Lord continue to bless your church. Brother Tony Johnson, church clerk. Let's all try to make a strive to get out to all these churches and visit. Because we've been so well supported in the past. Anybody before we dismiss?
Let me make an announcement.
All right.
Yeah. Let's don't forget, we're going to night services again. And tonight will be our first service. It is our election of officers and teachers, so let's remember our business meeting tonight. And everybody come. Everybody is responsible for this church. Mm-hmm. And tonight is our business meeting and this election. So it's a little more, maybe you might say a little more important than some of our regular business meetings. So we all need to be here that can. 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Anybody else before we dismiss? Anything at all? Lord's given you something to say. Don't sit down on it. You'll miss a blessing, I promise. If not, all standing will be dismissed. Very happy that everybody's here this morning. Thank you so very much for coming and supporting this church, because we need to support this church and we need to support one another. Be prayerful for each other throughout this week, that we would all be obedient, and that we'd all try the best that we can to serve the Lord as a willing servant. If there's nothing else, Brother Don, if you would dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Blessings, we ask in the name of Jesus, for his sake, we pray.